The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
As the clock struck midnight, Title 42 ending, a policy that allowed the rapid expulsion of migrants over COVID concerns. Officials on both sides of the border now bracing for a surge.
Cities along the southern border are seeing such a huge influx of people, they are running out of shelter and aid.
Tonight, a pandemic-era immigration policy has ended, causing thousands of migrants to gather at the U.S. border.
Up to 28,000 migrants are now in U.S. Border Patrol custody, with some facilities over capacity.
There was about 2,500 migrants or so just here in this area that had come across the river, and they're essentially waiting in that space between the Rio Grande and the border fence, and that is where they have been kept for several days. And it's very hard to quantify just how many are on the other side of the border trying to get here, and that's the question.
Were you aware of Title 42?
Sí.
Por esto viniste. That's why you came here.
Sí.
You can also see here people riding what's known as the train of death to northern Mexico to make a crossing attempt into the U.S.
New fencing going up outside of Juarez, and that massive crowd of migrants by the border wall waiting days to be processed, finally rounded up and put in single file lines.
Cities along the southern border aren't the only ones preparing for the surge. In Chicago, immigrants are sleeping in a police station. In Denver, they're packing into a parking garage. New York City has been taking in up to 1,000 migrants a day. Now, the mayor has announced plans to start dispersing migrants to surrounding counties.
The big question is, how will the city safely accommodate them? Mayor Eric Adams says that physically there is just no space left.
Mayor Adams also temporarily suspended the city's decades-old right to shelter law, which requires providing a bed to anyone who requests one. The city says it's reached its shelter limit.
New York City budget officials estimate by next year, caring for migrants, including housing them at hotels, will cost taxpayers more than $4 billion.
Cities all over the U.S. have been bracing for an influx of migrants that appears to be well underway, and many from coast to coast are finding they don't have the resources to handle all the demand.
The city is eyeing the building for another migrant respite site. This as officials have run out of room to house migrant families, many who are still sleeping on the floors of local police stations. But many residents aren't happy about it and made that clear during a meeting last week.
Upwards of $150 million roughly for 6 months. We believe that that $150 million would have been in some way eligible to come into our communities to help our crime problems, help with our economic problems, help with our housing issues.
This, we have football fields of people lining up coming into this country, and tens of thousands more over the other side of the border.
And this is worse than anything that we've seen. You're simply just not enough places to hold people.
DHS officials say a record high, more than 11,000 migrants, were stopped by Border Patrol on Wednesday. A similar situation on Tuesday, when 17% were turned back because of Title 42. But the vast majority, 83% of migrants, were released into the U.S. to make asylum claims.
I want to be very clear. Our borders are not open.
6.5 million illegals have flooded into the country during the corrupt and lawless Joe Obama administration. And there he is, the man responsible for securing the border. He's there saying, hey, the border is closed. It's perfect. You know, we often make the point that the United States is funding the Ukraine war effort, you know, providing over $100 billion for Ukraine's border security, but doesn't give one penny to secure the southern border. And that's of course true. But when you see what's happening, and we'll get into it on today's show, the U.S. is actually funding the southern border to the tune of tens of billions of dollars every year. But it's just not to secure it or to keep the illegals out. It's to open the doors and to welcome the world in. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Day that we appreciate you joining us on today's show, the last day of the week. can hardly believe it. Here we are on Friday. You can get to the live stream of this show through our website, trumpetdaily.com, or the Rumble channel. Just go to Rumble. I think yesterday's show has the most views, at least that I know of, that we've had yet. We've only had the Rumble channel going for a few weeks. But just search for the Trumpet Daily over at Rumble, and you can watch the live stream there as well. It comes live every weekday morning at 11 a.m. here in the central time zone of the United States. So last night at midnight Eastern time, Title 42 was lifted, as you saw there in the montage. That allowed for U.S. authorities to certainly not send everyone back. That last statistic, just 17%. I mean, it was the last remaining obstacle that at least gave the authorities the power to say, no, you're going to be expelled. Go home. Go back across the border. You can't stay here. As it is today, everyone's checked in. They're all giving a court date appearance. Some of them aren't set for years. I heard one case where it was 10 years down the road. Hey, okay, here, let me stamp your papers. Make sure you see us in court in 10 years or in 5 years. There is no border security, but there's a lot of money, taxpayer money, that's going to the southern border, that's equipping these illegals with their travel needs, their bus tickets, their plane tickets, a little travel package, free phones even, and apps that just make it easier for them to be processed. This is what Barack Hussein Obama wants. It's not a border that's insecure. It's not even really a crisis. It's an invasion of the United States of America. And Barack Obama's leading the way. He's leading the charge. They don't want just 6.5 million coming in. As Ted Cruz noted yesterday, they want 10 million more, 15 million more, 20 million more. This is how you crush the system. I mean, they're probably giving them the travel papers and, you know, a 2024 election ballot as well. Future Democrats. And they're being sent all over the country. Denver, Chicago, New York. Listen to Ted Cruz. He's at the southern border. Of course, AOC, Biden. Is Kamala the border security czar? Has she been down there? None of them are there. They all show up when there's someone in the media that sees a child behind a chain link fence, you know, in cages. And then AOC rushes to the border. And she cries her eyes out. I think Ted Cruz said something like, hey, you'll see it in one of the clips. Maybe I should just play it. Here's Cruz from yesterday, number 9.
6 weeks ago, I asked Secretary Mayorkas how many migrants died in the past year crossing illegally. He said, I don't know. The number's 853. But he can't be bothered to worry about that. I asked him how many women have been sexually assaulted in the last year by human traffickers. He said, I don't know. Because the administration can't be bothered by that. We're witnessing modern-day slavery. And maddeningly, what the Biden administration has decided is they want more. Title 42 is expiring today, and you know what happens tomorrow? Those numbers go up. This is an invasion, and they want the numbers to go up. The Biden administration is really proud now that they have apps on their phone. That when someone crosses illegally, they can fill out an application in 2 minutes. This is the Amazon version of illegal immigration. They're going to make it fast and deliver them anywhere in the country. We've seen 6.5 million people cross illegally since Joe Biden became president, and the administration wants 6.5 million to be 10 million, to be 12 million, to be 15 million, to be 20 million. And the body bags that pile up, they can't be bothered to worry about.
We need more of that kind of Ted Cruz day in and day out. He's rightfully infuriated by what's happening. Of course, he comes from Texas. Texas is receiving the brunt of it, this attack. Arizona's not that far behind. 6.5 million? And they're trying to make it to where you can process the illegals in 2 minutes' time? And they're proud of this. They're proud of that. And then when they are pressed, and to the extent to the extent that Mayorkas will even admit that there's a problem. They just want to point the finger at someone else. Say that, well, it's, and there is plenty of blame to go around. There's no getting around that. But who can deny the situation today when you compare it to the way that it was 2.5 years ago, that this is a catastrophe of epic proportions, but it's planned. And Barack Obama, you can go back to his first and second term. We're in the third term now. But look at the policies. Look at the approach. And this is all by design. Like I say, it's an invasion. It's not just a crisis. It certainly isn't an accident. It's a full-scale invasion. What other country in the world could survive with an immigration system such as this? What other country in the world even would allow this? They know they can't survive with the doors wide open, with unlimited, unrestricted immigration into their nation. Russia couldn't survive with that. China, Japan, Germany. But the communists running the United States of America, for them, I mean, it's what it helps them politically. But there's also a money-making industry here run by Democrat organizations. They make millions. As I say, there is a lot of money going to the southern border. It's just to invite people in from all over the world. And believe me, they're coming from every nation. Not just Mexico, not just Central America, all over the world. The doors are open. No more Title 42. Everybody can get in. This has been Berkwam at Real America's Voice. He's down at Brownsville, Texas. And he's telling you something here about the processing of these illegals, number 14.
These people that are profiting off the invasion. This is the new Democrat industry. They don't want you to see it. And as we have it, it's a well-oiled machine. Buses come here, they drop off, they let them into this building, which was owned by the city, which is given to the NGOs to operate this smuggling, human smuggling operation. They go into this building, they come back out, they come into this building, they get their packets, they come back out, they go back into this building, and then they're set up with their travel brochures, basically the travel packages, to either get a hotel here in town, which we're being told they upcharge. So the people here, actually, we've been interviewing, saying that they're charging them 40% more sometimes than what they can buy on their own. Or they get them bus tickets, same thing with an upcharge right there at the bus station, or plane tickets to fly them to a community near you.
See, everyone, even on this side of the border, everyone benefits that's part of this industry, this human trafficking, including the hotels. No wonder the hotels are quite happy to fill up their entire facility with illegal immigrants because they're getting such a good price. A 40% upcharge, the bus companies and the plane tickets, they're doing the same thing. And then you've got, as he said there, the Democrat industry. This is what they want, and they want to make it quick and efficient. Let's just get them in as quick as possible, make an app, 2 minutes, get them on the bus, send them to Denver, send them to New York, spread them out all over the country. Future Democrats. And at the same time, it turns the United States into a third world nation where everyone's dependent on good old Uncle Sam, a Democrat. And one thing about this Democrat industry that you can be sure of, at least they would never cheat on a presidential election. Look at all this corruption in the Biden crime family. The down at Brownsville, I think Ted Cruz was reporting from El Paso yesterday. Mayorkas saying everything's perfect. Yeah, the border's closed. Don't worry about it. The lies, and then they go on. Oh, Anderson Cooper's monologue, how pathetic last night, to go on and on, almost in tears. I can understand why you would be leaving CNN, because we had the town hall with Donald Trump. Donald Trump was able to debate with Caitlin Collins for 70 minutes. I can see why you would think it was a horrible mistake. The country's going up in flames. And by the way, the only one that has anything sensible to say, well, besides Ted Cruz, about southern border security is the bad orange man himself. Where is AOC? Ted Cruz wonders. She still has the white pantsuit that she wore when she was sobbing down there for the children. During the Trump years, of course, it has to be during the Trump years. Then it's a catastrophe. Then it's a disaster. They're all quiet now because this is part of Barack Obama's plan to fundamentally transform the United States of America. He's got a third term now to carry out this fundamental transformation. That's why you have so many commentators now harkening back to that statement from 2008, which, of course, we've been talking about for years and years and years. This is America Under Attack. Hardcover version just arrived this week. If you don't have a copy, call our operators, 1-866-930-3024. It's a toll-free number here in the U.S., Canada, the Caribbean. Listen again to Ted Cruz from yesterday as he tries to describe just the scale of this invasion. Clip 8.
On Monday, we apprehended over 10,000 people on the border, the highest level in history. On Tuesday, we apprehended over 10,000 people on the border, again, the highest level in history. There are right now, where we're standing, more than 22,000 people camped just south of the border, getting ready to come across. Just in this location, in less than a month, we've had over 35,000 Venezuelans cross illegally just right here, not counting the whole rest of the border. Every day, just right here, they're encountering 90 to 100 Chinese nationals. Now, for anyone that doesn't have their globe nearby, China is not immediately to the south of the United States. But 90 to 100 a day are crossing illegally on this border, being smuggled in by Mexican drug cartels. And I have to say, I am angry. Because this is deliberate. This is a decision that was made by President Joe Biden and Kamala Harris and congressional Democrats to open up the border to what is nothing less than an invasion.
Here again, like so many do that are more conservative, he gets everything right except for the fact that Obama is the one that's calling the shots here. Joe Biden's just a puppet. Kamala's ignoring it. These are the marching orders from the dear leader. The dear leader has spoken. What does it tell you? What does it tell you about this corrupt administration, this Antiochus movement, when they're working cooperatively with the drug cartels, with the human traffickers on the other side of the border? You've got Obama and the cartels. They see it the same way. Cartels are making money, of course. They're charging. They're charging money to smuggle people up to the border. And they give them all of the instructions they need. When you get across the border, here's what'll happen. Turn yourself in here, and then you'll get the cell phone. All of it. And the Joe Bama people are obliging. They're happy to help. And then, as I say, to the extent that Mayorkas will even admit that there's a problem, of course he's going to say, well, it's Congress's fault. It's certainly not Biden or Harris or Obama, for sure, no. It's Congress. Here's an exchange with Mayorkas and the Morning Joe people, clip 7.
Yes, this is a decades-old problem, but the truth of the matter is just this week we're seeing record numbers of illegal crossings at the border. In the last year, almost 2 million arrests, another record at the border. Why has the problem gotten so much worse just in this last year or two?
Well, I would say two things. First, let's not surrender to the fact that we have a broken immigration system. Congress needs to act. Let's fix it. It's been a problem that everyone agrees on for more than two decades, number one. Number two, the challenge that we are seeing at our southern border is not unique to our southern border. It is a surge in migration, a surge in the displacement of people all across our region in Latin America, and not only in our hemisphere, around the world. We are seeing more displaced people now than we have at any time since World War II.
But why is it this last year? Why record crossing? Some have suggested it's because the impression that is out there is that it will be easier under President Biden to cross into the country, that the consequences are less severe than they would have been under President Trump or even under President Obama. Why is the problem so intense right now?
Even MSNBC is not buying it. Even MSNBC is suggesting that, well, don't these people think it's a lot easier now to get in? But he points the finger at Congress, and then the shills in the media, I should say, the regime media, they take those same talking points and run with it. One of the reporters confronted Ted Cruz yesterday and said, well, what have you done? How come Congress hasn't done anything? And Cruz, for his part, erupted in rebuke for this shallow, ignorant reporter that's just down there basically to communicate the Democrat talking points. This is clip 10.
Joe Biden inherited the lowest rate of illegal immigration in 45 years. And the first day in office, he made political decisions to cause this problem. And you should be ashamed of yourself because you're a reporter and you're not reporting facts. You're telling lies. Joe Biden made a political decision and they turn a blind eye.
Here again, it was a political decision. But it came from on high. It came from Barack Obama. It came from the end time Antiochus, as we've discussed so many times before. Again, you can get to more of this, what the Bible says about what's happening in the United States. If you want God's perspective, make sure that you request America Under Attack. In that book, it says President Obama directed federal agencies to stop enforcing certain immigration laws. We saw all of this happen, and my father goes through examples. He goes through examples even where Obama said, no, stop enforcing that law, and then Obama would get smacked down by a judge that at least had some respect for the law of the land, and then Obama would try to find a way to get around it again. It's the way he operates. That's the spirit of Antiochus. Will worship. Just stop enforcing those laws. Let the immigrants in, all of them. Open the doors wide. In America Under Attack, it says, these are just a few of the many things. Barack Obama broke the rules, overstepped his office, evaded constitutional checks on his power, and eroded the rule of law. They remind me of the old fable about the frog in the pot. Turn on the stove and heat the water slow enough, and before it realizes what's happening, the frog has boiled to death. See, here's where we are. Here's where we are many, many, many years on from what Obama was doing back in 2012, 13, 14. Let's just make it easy. Make it easy for everyone to get in. And now in the past 2.5 years, 6.5 million illegals, and now nothing left to turn any of them back. And then they come in and they get everything for free. They get free room and board. They get a free bus ticket. They get travel brochures. They get cell phones. No wonder they're coming by the millions. How can you blame the thousands coming from Venezuela? How do you explain 100 from China even? It's so good. They're taken care of so well. You talk about America last. Americans are taken, they're at the last of the list. But the Chinese nationals, 100 are apprehended every day. I'm not sure if Cruz was talking about just at that El Paso passage, but 100 per day. China's halfway around the world. The doors are open for everyone. They're coming from the southern reaches of South America. They're coming from China. They're coming from Asia, Europe, all over the place. Because they get everything for them. They get everything for free. For free, but by that, of course, you have to acknowledge that the taxpayers pick up the tab. So here are American taxpayers, so many of them furious about all the tens of billions going to Ukraine for a war effort that they don't care about. And then they're looking at the southern border saying, secure it. That's where we need to send our money. But it's, as I say, it's so much worse than that. Because tens of billions, you saw in the opening montage, They're estimating that New Yorkers are going to have to pay something like $4 billion this next year for the illegals that are settling into New York City and other counties around the city. Tens of billions of dollars. Oh, yeah, it's going toward the southern border, all right. It says here, today, many people recognize the immense threat posed by illegal immigration and the fact that radical leftists are actively using it to weaken the country. See, people are starting to recognize this fact. They weren't saying it. They weren't saying it so much in 2013 and 14. But now, I mean, listen to Ted Cruz. He's a prominent senator in Congress. This is deliberate. This is intentional. This is an attack. This is an invasion. And what does this do to the state of a nation? I'll read a few verses for you. Deuteronomy 28 and verse 43, it says, the sojourner who is among you shall mount above you higher and higher, and you shall come down lower and lower. That's in the Revised Standard Version. The sojourner, the visitor, the one passing through, they're going to mount above you higher and higher, and everyone else falls to the bottom. What a perfect description of what's happening in the United States right now. That's Deuteronomy 28 and verse 43. You know about Isaiah 1 and verse 7. We've read this before. It says here, your country lies desolate. Your cities are burned with fire. It says, in your very presence, aliens devour your land. It's desolate as overthrown by aliens. That's in the Revised Standard Version. Aliens are devouring the land. Now look, many of them have good intentions. But it's not like what the bleeding heart liberals are even describing on this side of the border, that these are families seeking refuge because it's so dangerous back home. These are not families for the most part. These are just young men. Young men, it's an army. These are Obama soldiers. That's what it amounts to. Look at some of the footage. The cameras pan and they're just all young men. They're not, to the extent that they bring the women, so many of them, like Ted Cruz brings out, they're being assaulted. They're being raped. The people just dying at the border, 843 last year. And then you've got the tens of thousands being trafficked into the sex slave trade. Sex slaves? A slavery trade? To say nothing about all of the drugs, the narcotics that are coming across the border. Just opening the door to all of this filth, this crime. This is destroying what's left of America. And many people are waking to that fact. Listen to Donald Trump yesterday on this ever-expanding crisis, this invasion of the United States. Clip 11.
With today's termination of the final remnants of Title 42, Joe Biden has officially abolished what remained of America's borders and turned the United States into a dumping ground for illegal aliens from all over the world. We've become a third world nation. At this very moment, illegal aliens are lined up by the tens of thousands ready to break into our country, knowing that even if they are caught, Joe Biden will order them immediately released into American communities. And many of these people are very dangerous. Under Biden, our border is gone, our sovereignty is gone. Our national security is gone, and we are quickly becoming that third world nation that I've been talking about for so long. It's happening to us, if you can believe that. The United States of America is now a third world nation. On day one of my new administration, I will end this travesty and restore the sovereign borders of the United States of America. We will immediately resume expedited removals of people that are crossing illegally our border. And following the model of President Eisenhower, we will use all necessary federal, state, local, and military resources to begin the largest domestic deportation effort in American history, to send the border violators back to their home countries, and we will do that immediately. This invasion will not stand. Our country is being invaded. Our country is being destroyed by very, very stupid people. These are stupid people. We have to get them out. We have to take back the White House.
No wonder they gave him a standing ovation at the end of the New Hampshire town hall. Trump became more popular as the evening progressed. That's why CNN had to cut him off. This is a popular message. This is a message coming from a populist politician. Let's secure the border. Let's send the illegals home. And the elites, they can't, they think this man is the most dangerous man in the world. It's unbelievable. I mean, that in itself shows you that we're under communist attack. You know why. Just listen to one little two-minute spiel, and you know why. They want to blot him out. Because, look, the border invasion, that's all part of the communist attack. That's all part of the fundamental transformation. So anyone that would resist that must be censored or banned or never invited back onto CNN. As I say, Anderson Cooper, he gets up at the start of his show last night and addresses the town hall and he sympathizes with the viewers that are angry. Why did you ever invite Donald Trump onto your airwaves? Listen to this pathetic monologue, clip two.
Before we begin with tonight's broadcast, I want to say something about what we witnessed at last night's town hall. Many of you have expressed deep anger and disappointment. Many of you are upset that someone who attempted to destroy our democracy was invited to sit on a stage in front of a crowd of Republican voters to answer questions and predictably continued to spew lie after lie after lie. And I get it. It was disturbing. It was disturbing to see and hear that person refer to a black law enforcement officer as a thug, an adjective he used many times to describe black men, and call Caitlin Collins, the moderator, nasty, which is what he calls any woman who stands up to him. It was disturbing to hear him speak so highly of QAnon conspirators and insurrectionists who assaulted police officers in our democracy on January 6th. And it was awful to hear him spread ridiculous lies about the election. And it was certainly disturbing to hear that audience, young and old, our fellow citizens, people who love their kids and go to church, laugh and applaud his lies and his continued defamation of a woman who, according to a jury of his peers, he sexually abused and defamed. As good a job as Caitlin Collins did trying to fact check him, it is impossible to fact check fully because he lies so shamelessly. Now, many of you think CNN shouldn't have given him any platform to speak, and I understand the anger about that. Giving him the audience, the time, I get that.
Get over it. You'll survive. You'll live. Your network may not. But this is Trump derangement syndrome on steroids right there, what you heard. These people really and truly do live in a bubble. Donald Trump is attempting to destroy democracy. There have been all these revelations just over the last week where Biden, Joe Obama, ordered the intel community to come up with this letter to say that Anthony Blinken was in on it, Mike Morrell. You may have seen John Brennan. He was hauled in to testify yesterday. The House Republicans called him in because Brennan signed off on the letter. And we know now it wasn't just Biden's people in the White House, but it was also the CIA. The CIA was out there recruiting all of these people from the alphabet agencies and the intel community, past and present. It wasn't like these were all just retired guys. It was the CIA of the United States working to coordinate this lie that Hunter Biden's laptop was Russian disinformation to make it official, to give Biden a talking point coming into a presidential debate to help Biden win the presidency. And Anderson Cooper and friends go on and on about how Donald Trump is trying to destroy democracy. The deep state is the threat to democracy. The deep state is what's destroying democracy. Obama's deep state is what's leading the charge at the southern border, the invasion of the United States. Listen to this short clip from Cooper last night, number three.
You have every right to be outraged today and angry and never watch this network again.
Best advice he ever gave. You have every right to turn us off. And the thing of it is, that's what viewers have been doing in droves. CNN is gasping for its last breath of air. That just ratings alone ought to tell you something. I mean, he tries to explain it saying, well, look, half the people in the country agree with Donald Trump. So, you know, maybe you should at least be aware of his bizarre and dangerous thinking in a town hall format, because, you know, he could be president. That's sort of how he addressed it. But the fact that you have conservative outlets surging in the ratings polls, the reaction that you see to Fox News when they fire Tucker Carlson, I mean, all these things, it gives you the pulse of the American people. You know what they're angry about. You know they're looking at the southern border and they're just seeing their country erode away. Their country is being overthrown by, as the Bible terms it, strangers. Strangers. They're not Americans. They're not patriots. They're overrunning the country. This is from Red State writing in response to that town hall meeting. It says, as we related early out of the gate, Trump is going nowhere. 34 indictments, being found liable for sexual abuse and defamation against E. Jean Carroll, and all the weeping and gnashing of teeth from never-Trumpers, rhinos, Democrats, and the left matters little and cannot prevent the Trump train from leaving the station. All of the weeping and the gnashing of teeth, like you just heard there from Anderson Cooper, and the Trump train just keeps right on moving. But boy, if he has to wait to get back in office for another year and a half, given what's happening at this moment, what country is going to be left for him to fix? He put out this campaign ad just this week as well, Donald Trump, clip one.
It's morning again in America. And thanks to Joe Biden, our borders are now wide open for all to come. Our schools free from parental involvement. Mediocre male athletes now given the opportunity to compete unfairly. Under Biden's unprecedented inflation, the hope of home ownership gone, and young adults forced to abandon seeking the American dream to live in their parents' basement longer. Biden's disastrous withdrawal from Afghanistan left billions in weapons behind and American lives taken. Our police ranks now shrinking, yet Biden spends billions creating an army of 80,000 new IRS agents. Why would we ever accept the incompetence and weakness of Biden when we could have the freedom, security, and economic prosperity we enjoyed just 3 years ago?
And yeah, what do they say about Donald Trump? That he's a threat to democracy. He's a threat to the communist takeover. That's what they don't like. That's what they hate. I mentioned the CIA being involved there. This week they passed the deadline. What was that, Wednesday? When the DOJ was supposed to hand over. You know, the New York Times with its headline yesterday saying, yeah, Comer didn't find any evidence. No evidence whatsoever. Play the Comer clip if you remember the number.
We've identified about 20-plus shell companies that the Bidens have created to launder the money they were receiving from foreign nationals down to their personal bank accounts. We've identified about 12 different banks that they were laundering this money through. Maria, what we presented yesterday was from four banks. We have eight more banks to go. But what we found is, thus far, $10 million that I don't think a single member of the Biden family can explain how they received was deposited into the Biden family accounts. And the way they did it, the way they transferred money around is honestly why they got so many suspicious activity reports from the banks, because it's a pattern of money laundering. So there's clearly a trail of corruption here that leads all the way to the top. I mean, why else would the Biden family be receiving this money were it not for the big guy?
A trail of corruption. And yet the New York Times, I told you this yesterday, it's a headline following the press conference from Comer and friends. You know, the one that CNN and MSNBC chose not to cover. The New York Times headline, House Republican report finds no evidence of wrongdoing by President Biden. No evidence at all. Comer revealed these were the Biden people receiving wire transfers from CCP-backed companies in China. You had Hunter Biden, you had James Biden, the big guy's brother, Sarah Biden, Hallie Biden, Kathleen Biden, Melissa Biden, a niece and a nephew of the big guy, and then his grandchild. And then you can add the big guy in the list for good measure. 10 of them. If we're to believe Bobulinski, he, you know, the big guy got his 10% cut. If a grandchild of Donald Trump, while he was the president, was receiving wire transfers from the CCP, you think MSNBC and CNN would be passing up on that press conference, that revelation? What a headline. It says here, Sean Davis said, if Trump's children and grandchildren were receiving secret payments from Russian and Chinese government interests, all disguised through various shell corporations, I'm sure the New York Times would run the same headline for Trump. You think they'd do that? No evidence, said the New York Times. No evidence. 10 people, while Biden was vice president, all right underneath Barack Obama's nose. Well, he knew about it, for sure. He knew all about it. This is from the New York Times article. It says here, after 4 months of investigation, House Republicans who promised to use their new majority to unearth evidence of wrongdoing by President Biden acknowledged on Wednesday that they had yet to uncover incriminating material about him. As if getting wire transfers from the CCP is not incriminating material. As so many have pointed out, what services were they providing to these CCP companies, to these communist companies? What services did Joe Biden's niece provide for those companies? There's more revelations to come. I'm sure there's more evidence that they're going to be uncovering. But just in connecting the dots here, you know there's something rotten in Denmark. It's all happening. These wire transfers are happening while Joe Biden is vice president and while he's the point man for this pivot to Asia, this pivot to China. He was selling favors. He was manipulating and changing U.S. foreign policy issues for money in exchange for cash, in exchange for dollars. Says here, on Wednesday, the House Republicans conceded that they had yet to find evidence of specific corrupt action. Yeah, no corrupt action, no evidence. There's no evidence that the border's not secure. There's no evidence that there were people that cheated in 2020, nothing. There's no evidence that the vaccine is dangerous. There's no evidence, really, that the lockdowns hurt our children and destroyed businesses. No evidence. Will worship. Listen to Jim Jordan from the other day, clip 5.
Suspicious activity reports. The key word in that phrase is the word suspicious. There are 170 of those reports, many of them put together by the Treasury Department of our government in the Obama-Biden administration. So 170 of those that the committee has reviewed, thousands of pages of bank records the committee has reviewed, and that has told us that there are now multiple, as Mr. Donald just said, multiple LLCs receiving money from foreign entities and paying that money out to multiple members of the Biden family. And the fundamental question is the one Byron just raised. For what? What did they do? What was the business? What service did they provide? What value did they add? What did they do to warrant receipt of the money? That is the fundamental question, and no one seems to have an answer to that fundamental question.
Well, there are answers. You know what they were selling. They were selling the Biden family name. They were pay to play, and that's the process that was happening, that was playing out while he was in office. I think it was Wednesday at noon when the DOJ had its deadline given by these Republicans. There's a whistleblower, fearing for his life, by the way, that came forward and said, look, there's an unclassified document right at the DOJ that gives you chapter and verse of the Biden bribery scheme. It's there in the deep state. It's right there. And the DOJ, what did they do? They just blew it off. They blew off the subpoena. It used to be that subpoenas, I mean, look at Steve Bannon. He disregarded a subpoena and the deep state communists. I mean, they put him in handcuffs. They want to put him in jail. It's so serious, you know. It's so serious, subpoenas. It's so serious. Whistleblowers are to be protected and revered if you're whistleblowing on Donald Trump. But when it's on the other side, well, the whistleblowers then, they're fearing for their lives. This is from the New York Post. It says, FBI refuses to give Congress informant file alleging Biden took bribes as vice president. The New York Times says no evidence. Anderson Cooper says Donald Trump tried to destroy democracy. What about just not even turning over a document that could give you more proof that there was a bribery scheme? I mean, that some would say that right there is an admission of guilt. What do they have to hide? If there's no evidence of any crimes, then give them the document. They can't do it, though, can they? Because the document would expose the crimes, all the more so. So the DOJ, and of course all this went on during the Barr years as well. I've covered that this week. They cover up actual crimes and create crimes that aren't even there to try to destroy their opposition. It says here the FBI has refused to give Congress an informant file alleging that President Biden took bribes while he was vice president. The Post has learned, setting up a possible showdown over access to information. I mean, Congress is supposed to have oversight power to make sure these agencies aren't corrupt. It says here, House Oversight Committee. You think there's not a deep state? There's an article later on in my notes, and the Wall Street Journal. The deep state is all too real. It's all too real. Pretty amazing what people are now waking to see. Where was I? The New York Post article? I've been shuffling back and forth. Here it is. Can't find it. My apologies. We had a delightful evening last night. Grad ball here on campus. The last formal event of the school year. I stayed out much too late. I danced much too hard for my weary legs. And this morning, I think it was finally feeling like I was awake about 45 minutes before the show. So God's helped me to bring some energy. We can appreciate God's help in times of need. It does say there that he gives strength to those who are weary. Read the last few verses of Isaiah 40. Very, very encouraging verses. Indeed. I might try to finish, after we come back from our promo and we've got our current news segment for the week, I might try to finish that quote from the New York Post. But for now, we can break away to a promo and then get you caught up on all of the other news items that I'm unable to get to on this program. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. If you'd like to email the show, you can reach us at td@thetrumpet.com. We'll be right back.
The Trumpet Daily.
Education is something most people take for granted. We assume it is something one acquires after graduating from a college or university. Yet the 20th century knowledge explosion has done little to solve the problems of this world. Crime, broken families, suicide, disease, mass illiteracy, and poverty. Why, in a world filled with so much advanced material knowledge, are there so many unsolvable problems? Why, after 6,000 years, has mankind been unable to find the solution to its escalating evils or to the number one problem it now faces, that of human survival? Our free booklet, Education with Vision, will show you what is wrong with education today. It will show you what is true education with vision and how to achieve it. Request your free copy of Education with Vision at our website, thetrumpet.com.
The Trumpet Daily.
In an emergency meeting in Cairo on May 7th, the Arab League voted to readmit Syria into the organization. Syria was suspended from the group in 2011 following the outset of the Syrian civil war. The 22-member Arab League includes every Arab state from Mauritania to Oman. The organization doesn't have significant political power, but as the global mouthpiece of the collective Arab world, its judgments and decisions carry a lot of weight. Although Syria is currently a close ally of Iran, Bible prophecy indicates that Syria will move away from this alliance in the end time and toward an alliance with Germany and some other members of the Arab League. How this split between Iran and Syria will happen remains to be seen, but the reintegration of Syria into the Arab League could be an important stepping stone. To learn more, read Mr. Gerald Flurry's article, How the Syrian Crisis Will End. Russian President Vladimir Putin signed a decree on April 27th legalizing the deportation of Ukrainians in occupied territory if they refuse to accept Russian citizenship. Citizens in occupied Ukrainian regions must obtain a Russian passport by July 1, 2024, or they will be deported. According to Ukraine's deputy defense minister, Russia has also begun a large-scale resettlement of Russian citizens into occupied territory. Article 8 of the Rome Statute of the International Criminal Court states that these actions are war crimes. The trumpet has been warning of Putin's war atrocities in Ukraine since the beginning of Russia's invasion. These warnings are based on what the Bible says about Russia and its tyrannical end-time leader. To learn more about these subjects, read The Prophesied Prince of Russia. Israeli Defense Minister Yoav Gallant stated on May 4th that Iran has enough nuclear material to create 5 nuclear bombs. Although the U.S. government and other Western authorities do not believe Iran has reached nuclear breakout yet, it is definitely closer than ever before. And Iran definitely has the will to use nuclear weapons if it acquires them. Iran is a nuclear state that is openly committed to Israel's destruction. The threat of a war in the Middle East with weapons of mass destruction is very real. In Matthew 24, Jesus Christ prophesied that the world would reach the point where mankind could wipe itself out. This was not possible until the creation of nuclear weapons. The nuclear saber-rattling between Iran and Israel brings this prophecy closer to fulfillment. To learn more about the importance of worldwide nuclear armament, read Nuclear Armageddon is at the Door. To learn more about current world news and how it relates to Bible prophecy, please visit thetrumpet.com.
The Trumpet Daily.
There you have it, the current news segment for the week. Barely able to squeeze that in. We've got about a minute and a half left, so I will return to this New York Post piece. It says House Oversight Committee Chair James Comer issued a legally binding subpoena last week requiring the FBI to turn over the file by noon Wednesday, but the Bureau instead replied with a 6-page letter raising various objections. We object. Because, well, as it goes on to say, we've got to protect our sources. Here again, they hide behind methods and sources. How many times have we heard this? When they don't want to reveal the truth about crimes on their side. This is from 2020. It's Joe Biden before they stole the election. Clip 6.
Mr. Vice President, how many times have you ever spoken to your son about his overseas business dealings?
I've never spoken to my son about his overseas business dealings.
And so how do you know?
Here's what I know. I know Trump deserves to be investigated. He is violating every basic norm of a president. You should be asking him the question, why is he on the phone with a foreign leader trying to intimidate a foreign leader if that's what happened? That appears what happened. You should be looking at Trump.
And you see all the deep state actors, the hacks at the New York Times, the reporter that badgered Ted Cruz. They all have the same ideology. Only Trump and all things Trump deserves to be investigated. On the other side, they work. They work tirelessly to cover up actual crimes. You're listening to Stephen Flurry, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We certainly appreciate you joining us on today's show. Thanks for joining us all week, some of you diehards, and we'll see you next time.